history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Kia ora, Rob.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We've got a text, but I'm going to talk about that when I do my poem. Thank
okay,
you very much
for that. We'll save that one.
Yes. Right, I'm talking about tardigrades.
Tardigrades.
Today.
What is a tardigrade?
Well, they're an eight-legged segmented micro animal.
Whoa, okay.
They're also known as water bears or moss piglets.
Oh, so this is the moss piglet you mentioned earlier on.
They were first described by German zoologist Johann August Ephraim in 1773.
Wow, so that's a long time ago.
These microscopic these things are absolutely bonkers what they can do.
Now, hang on, how big are they? Microscopic, tiny.
Yeah, that's well little.
Well little, that's the metric
proper little. Got magnifying glass and all that. They can survive anywhere from the vacuum of space inside a volcano to an Arctic lake nearly a mile underground.
Space bears.
They have even returned to normal functioning after being frozen for three decades.
What?
They can also withstand temperatures minus 272 to 151 and up to pressure six times that of the deepest part of the ocean.
What?
Plus they can survive lethal radiation exposure.
Okay, we googled a picture of
this
these because I was trying to
I know you two don't like them, but I think they're so cute looking.
I mean, cute is really
I think
they kind of look like, if people don't know what they look like, they kind of look like
croissant.
Little croissant with legs and a vacuum cleaner for a head.
Yeah,
it looks like a Doctor Who monster.
It does. It really does look like something.
But they always look like they're smiling to me. I like them.
Yeah, I can see why they look like bears. I see why people call them bears. They do have a bit of a vibe of that. I would say they're almost cute.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
As far as
it
I'll go.
It kind of sickens me, to be honest.
Wow, so our definition of cute, the three of us, is so different, isn't it?
Broadly different here, yeah.
Well, they can also enter a state of suspended animation called cryptobiosis, in which their bodies dry up and their metabolism shuts down. And if you put a dehydrated hibernating tardigrade into water, it'll regain its full function in a matter of hours. Bit like a sea monkey, really.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you Google tardigrade, the first thing that comes up is, are tardigrades dangerous? And the response is, they pose no threat to humans, which sounds like it was written by a tardigrade.
Yeah.
You know?
They're very clever. They can write. That's why they are often found in lichens and mosses. They're also found in sand dunes, soil, leaflet and marine or freshwater sediments, and even in the Cargill.
Wow.
I put that bit in there because I thought it might sound a bit funny.
Even in the Cargill.
It took me a second to catch up as well. I was like, believe that.
You can
get
up to 250,000 of them per litre of water. I mean, that's cotchels of them, isn't it? I like them.
I appreciate their robustness and their tenacity.
Yep.
There we go. The tardigrades.
Right. Now, this is the bit that actually quite upset me, really. Because of their unbelievable resistance to everything, scientists have been theorising about panspermia, which is the hypothesis that life exists throughout the universe because it was distributed by space dust, meteorites, asteroids, and also spacecraft carrying microorganisms like tardigrades.
Okay.
Not God.
Panspermia.
And they can kickstart life off on another planet.
Crikey.
Which is pretty amazing, right?
So hang on, if you sent a bunch of tardigrades into space to the moon.
Tardigrades in space. Yeah.
I'm making that a sting immediately. You could start populating the moon with tardigrades. Is that what they're trying to say?
Well, I can't remember who done it. It doesn't really matter. But a spacecraft carrying a whole load of them was supposed to land on the moon and there was a glitch and it crashed.
Oh.
It crashed into the moon, right? Now, this is where it takes a naughty turn and scientists do something else. A couple of scientists, I'm not going to name them, right?
Naming no names.
You know who you are and shame on you. They wanted to see if tardigrades could survive the impact of the spacecraft. So what they done, they froze 20 of them and then loaded them into a hollow nylon bullet and fired them into sandbags.
Why would you do that?
It does seem like
you got a bit too much time.
They ended up with tardigrade smoothies. Now, I could have told you that would have happened. The spaceship would have landed. It would have apparently been about 350 miles an hour when it hit the moon.
Oh, so hang on. Is the bullet, the hollow bullet, like a recreation of the spaceship?
But when they fired it, it was apparently approximately going 2,000 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
As opposed to 310 miles an hour.
Well, it's not very accurate,
Nothing
is it?
Nothing would have survived that. I could have told them that. Why are you doing stuff like that?
Why
What's
are
wrong
you shooting
with you?
Tardigrades out of...
Yeah, just if you've got nothing to do, go home.
Do you know what I mean? Clock off for the day.
Go to Netflix. Watch
go hug
Netflix
your family.
Rob, do you know what happens if people eat them? Someone wants to know on the text machine.
Nothing. They're just fantastic. I love them.
All right. Shout out to the tardigrades this morning.
Right, and if you're a scientist and you did this,
you know who you are.
Do something else.
All right. Tardigrades, have you got a poem for us today, Rob?
I certainly have, yes.
Shall I hit the sting?
Yes, please.
Introducing the Bard of Bollocks. You dig? Take it away.
Right. This is very personal to me and the texter that texted in.
Shall
about...
Shall I read the text?
Yes,
someone
please,
says,
yes.
On behalf of us long-suffering Spurs fans, can you tell Rob not to watch so often? We play better when he doesn't watch.
Well,
the man's
true.
A jinx.
That's true. I said on the sports show on Saturday that I wasn't going to watch the last game of the season, and I didn't, and we won. So it is my fault, and I apologise. But this poem is very personal to me. This is like a farewell to Harry Kane.
All right,
so I've done this little poem here. Thank you, Harry, for everything you've done. For me, you'll always be Tottenham's favourite son. I'm devastated you're leaving, and I can understand why. Ever since I heard about it, every other word has been a swear, sorry. Still can't believe the rubbish season. It's such a pity. But please, Harry, don't go to Man United or Chelsea. It's got to be Man City.
Hey,
snap. I'm sorry for that, listener. I ain't going to watch no more because we're shite. Right.
R.I.P. the Spurs. Thank you very much for that Rob. I hope you have a lovely rest of your morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit this.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bollocks, only on 95 BFM.
I got distracted by a text there that's